You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network. Attention all theater lovers! This Sunday, April 21st, Broadway Podcast Network is holding the first ever Broadway Podfest, a full day of podcast recordings with some of your favorite Broadway stars, live from the Museum of Broadway, which is right in the heart of Times Square. The day begins at 11 a.m. Eastern and features a full day of programming that you don't want to miss. Visit bpn.fm/podfest to get all the details and register to attend for free. That's bpn.fm/podfest.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to this episode of Mama's Talkin' Loud. I'm Jessica Rush.
And I'm Kara Cooper. And today we have two-time Tony Award winner for Thoroughly Modern Millie and Anything Goes. Our guest today has starred on Broadway in 11 productions, including the recent revival of Violet, The Drowsy Chaperone, Little Women, Young Frankenstein, Shrek the Musical. The list goes on and on and on.
She has a bit of a resume.
Just a little bit. She starred in the television series Bunheads and is currently starring as Liza Miller in the TV Land series Younger, which I am mildly obsessed with. And she is basically the nicest person you will ever meet. Welcome, Sutton Foster.
Hi, you guys. Thank you for having me.
Yay.
Thank you so much for being here.
We're so thrilled to have you. Awesome.
We keep saying being here. That's like the virtual.
We're all together, guys. Yeah, totally.
We miss what we wouldn't give to be like sitting in the studio, but I know. You know, it's all good. It's all good. And Sutton, this will be our third Journey to Motherhood episode, actually. Yeah, that is for our listeners who are following along. We do have a Journey to Motherhood series. So we're thrilled to have you here with us for it.
I still can't believe I'm a mom. I was just talking to my husband last night and I was like, how do you feel? Every time she goes, daddy, daddy, and like, or she goes, like, she calls me like mama or mommy, like it changes, you know? Mm-hmm. And every time I'm like, that's me. Like every time, like I still can't believe that it's like, mm-hmm. that we have this little human that, you know.
Right. That so you wild. Are her person and her people. Like it's, you're in charge. You're the person.
I'm the person. I know. It's so intense, but it's awesome.
It's a lot of pressure.
It's so much pressure.
Well, if you would get, we like to ask our guests to tell us about their child or their children when they get started, because we don't often get asked that if we're being honest, right?
I have a 3.5-year-old little girl named, her name is Emily. Her name is Emily Dale Griffin Foster. I throw in the Foster at the end. And she does too now, which I'm like, oh, so proud. And she is she's so smart and so funny. And I think I'm very proud of this, but she also has like the concept of like, she goes like, is that funny? Like she wants to like make people laugh. And we're she's just and very empathetic and mm-hmm. always wants to help. Can I help you? I have to go get dressed. Can I help you? I'm going to make your oatmeal. Can I help you? Can I stir? She's like very, she just wants to like be involved. She still takes naps. She's still
lucky. Yeah. You
I know she's napping right now. So she still takes naps. She's loves to sleep, has a favorite lovey that she calls Ruffy, and it's a unicorn. And she sucks her thumb and she loves to be outside. And, you know, she's just like, she's a good hang. She's like she's like a good kid. Like she's like really sweet. And, I'm trying to think of like her most challenging, you know, moments. I mean, she's 3.5. So we have, we'll have like a day where I'm like, oh, but, mostly she's like, just a really, really good kid. And we just feel so lucky, you know,
yeah.
She's just, like a really sweet soul.
That's awesome. That reminds me. That's just
like, when
so amazing.
Ask people about their kids, you like everybody's demeanor changes completely when they talk about their kids. No, it's true, because we ask every guest this, and it's just so great to see somebody talk about their child, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It reminds me what you said about like she's just a good good kid to hang with. It reminds me a lot of my husband says that about Elliot a lot. He's like, you're just like an awesome addition to our crew, you know? Like we're a good team, you know?
Yeah.
That's a lovely thing to feel, you know, to want to hang out with your child. Yeah.
We
have our moments, but
oh yeah, yeah. We went on a hike we've been outside the city since March, and we have a little lake house, and we take her hiking. She's like 34 pounds, but I still have like a carrier, and I'll put her on my back, and we like hike around, and she loves to walk, and so we found like this little trail, and her new favorite word is why. I mean, we are in the why phase so hard right now, and it's intense, and I'm like, she's like, why? I'm like, well, why do you think? She's like, because. And I'm like, exactly. So, I had her on my back, and then I let her down to walk for a little bit. And I said, it's a little rocky. She goes, it's rocky, but I will try my best on the tricky parts.
Oh,
and I'm like, who are you? And like my dad lives about, him and his lady friend relocated up here near us at the lake. They live about 5 minutes away, and about once a week, you know, Emily goes to spend a couple of hours with Papa and Mimi. And she's like, I want to go by myself. And I'm like, oh, okay. You can go over there, because she gets to watch like Paw Patrol and Dinosaur Train or, you know, and like, you know, whatever. And I'm like, okay, whatever happens over there. And she gets to have like four desserts.
Exactly.
Yep.
Last time she was there with my dad, I said, how's it going? And he texted me and he's like, we're making cookies. And she said, I'm not a very good baker, but I'll do my best. Oh. I'm like, what? Like she's three and she's like, I'll do my best.
Talk
like,
about a positive outlook. Look at what you've done, mama. I mean, that's awesome.
Good job, mama. That's what that is.
Well done. Also, she should write quotes and motivational quotes, because that one about, you know, the tricky, what did she say about the tricky
part? She goes, I'll do my best to get through the tricky parts.
Yes. Yeah. To get through the tricky part.
Yeah.
We all do our best to get through the tricky part.
That should be our motto for this time, right?
Yeah.
This is the never ending tricky part.
Thanks, Emily.
And I always say, you know, I'm afraid of snakes. And she, I told her, she said, and I said, she goes, if we see a snake, I'll help you be brave. So you can be, I always do things in three. So I always say, she goes, so you can be brave, brave, brave. And she said, so you'll be brave so I can learn about them. I'm like,
son, I feel like I'm listening to myself. I'm definitely afraid of snakes. And my son, we went on a hike and he goes, Mom, don't ask me what we just saw.
And you're like,
I mean, I know.
And they're the same age. They're
my gosh.
Oh my God. I love three and a half. I love it. It's like,
it's fun. We're like in this really fabulous pocket of, you know, she's really like finding her, stepping into her own, but also like super, lovey and like, mm-hmm. and you know, she's like, Ma, I got to tell you something. And I'm like, what? She goes, I love you. And then she like runs away. And I'm like, I love ya. Like, where did that come from? Like every day is something new.
I love
you.
Know? Ya, I love ya.
Waka waka. I know. She did something with Ted yesterday too. She's like, Dad, Daddy, I got a granola bar for you. And I'm like, a granola bar? She was like, a granola bar for you. And I'm like, she sounded like she was from Fargo. It's like, she has like these accents now. Anyway.
Oh my God.
But yeah, she's a good kid.
Did you always know you wanted to be a mother, Sutton?
That no.
Something on your radar?
No, I was always on the fence about it. I was always so career driven for so long. And then relationship challenged. Although I've been, I'm on my second marriage, but my first marriage, it was like, we just weren't, kids weren't like, weren't on the radar. They were never like off the table. It just, it never felt like the right time. And then I really didn't think about it until I met my husband now, when I met Ted. And then my mom had passed away. My mom passed away 6 years ago. And I met my husband, my mom passed away, and like, and his father had passed away. And then all of a sudden, I don't know, like the idea of family changed. Mm-hmm. And like, I finally understood what marriage was and this combination of bringing families together. And then he was talking about like right away, and I was 39. So it was like, okay, let's start trying to have kids, you know? Let's start trying. And it was like the first time my whole life I had like actively tried to get pregnant or that I was even contemplating it. And then we couldn't get pregnant. It was like, cause we went through the whole fertility battle. Mm. And which was very confusing to me because I was like, usually, you know, when I go after something, I can make it happen, you know? Right. And I was like really annoyed by that whole thing. It was so paralyzing. And, we tried for like a year and a half naturally. And then I was like 40 and then we started to do fertility things. And we went through three different rounds of fertility treatments, IVF. And after the third round, after the second round, I had like a total meltdown. And I was so, it just felt so, for me, it felt, I was like manipulating my body. I was like going through all of this stuff and it just felt like, and I was like shooting a television show and like nobody knew. And it was just this weird time. And I remember having like a total meltdown to my husband. And I was like, this can't be the only way this isn't the only way we can have a family. This doesn't feel right. Like nothing was feeling right. And I had always been very pro adoption. It was something that I'd always, two of my best friends are adopted. It was something that I felt was like deep in my heart. And I was like, we have to pursue adoption at the same time. I was like, we cannot just pursue IVF. Like we have to send out all the battalions. And, mm-hmm. and I was like, and you have to do it. I was like, I'm putting needles in my belly and you have to call. Like we had a friend of ours who had, adopted kids. And I was like, you have to call Peter. You have to talk to him and get to him. And he was like, okay. And then like, as soon as we started pursuing adoption, it was like all the roadblocks we had with fertility. It was clear that this child was, you know, cannonballing towards us. And like, we just, it just all made, I still am like, I, you know, our whole story, her whole story. And someday I can't wait to like, you know, write her whole story when she's old enough to be able to, we can write it together. But it was just so clear that it was meant to be. And I'm still amazed. I with all the paperwork and all of the things, but it was so good for me. I think that journey to motherhood where the needles and the pills and the, you know, the eggs being pulled out, it's just so strange. But like adoption for me, it just felt, because you have to fill out all of these paperwork. You have to take all these classes and watch all these and learn about what it means to like be a parent and also have a social worker come to your home. And you're like, you know, you have to like ask all these hard questions of yourself and of your spouse. And there was like a different preparation. And I think I needed that. And then everything happened for us very quickly and we were matched with a birth mother and Emily was, you know, we were there when she was born and we held her 30 minutes after she was born. You know, and we have a wonderful relationship with the birth family. And it's been wild. And now again, I'm like, how did that happen? But it was just so clear that was our, you know, I'm talking way too much, but I have,
no, that's what you're here to do.
I feel like I have like, you know, you look out and you're like when I was going through, like I met Ted and I was like, oh my gosh, this is the man I want to have a family with. And they were like, and I'm like, oh my gosh, we're going to get, and then when we didn't get pregnant, I was like, wait, why isn't this happening? And then the IVF failed. And I'm like, I was so like upset with the universe, you know, but the reason none of that was working was because Emily was, I know.
She was waiting. Yeah.
I know. And so I see her and I'm like, there's not a doubt in my mind that she's not my daughter. Like that. I don't even question it, you know? And, or that she wasn't meant to be in our life. It's so, yeah, it's just, it blows me away. And I even think of like both my husband and I just being so fumbly and, you know, with the paperwork, and we were like, oh God, like let's get it together. And we like send it off, you know? And then next thing you know, we're like, oh wait, what? And it's like all happening. And we're just like trying to catch up to it and how we, you know, it's just amazing. It's just amazing.
We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back with more of our conversation with Sutton Foster.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at suffsmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on Essie Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
Welcome back, everyone. We're continuing our conversation with Sutton Foster.
So my journey to motherhood. So in conclusion, I can look back on it now and it makes sense. But in the moment it was like, whoa, like of course. All crazy.
Yeah.
But,
in those moments you feel, and I found this, I mean, it's not the same, but with jobs even or shows, you know what I mean? Like things that that pass you by and you think you're so mad. I was supposed to book that. I was supposed to do that. And then in hindsight, you look back and you realize everything, you can't miss your destiny. And everything happens the way it's supposed to. And when you get to the other side, you realize, oh, the plan was not what I had planned, but this is what was supposed to happen instead.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
It's so interesting. I just was talking to a gay couple that's going through the adoption process, and all the preparation that you were talking about, the classes and it feels very intrusive. I think, like you said, a social worker coming over and your life being examined by someone else. And so many people don't have to go through that to become parents.
Yeah.
And I think in a lot of ways, and maybe you would agree or disagree with this, but you almost were more prepared than somebody who obviously became pregnant by accident or went about it the more typical way. I feel like you really have to examine yourself more before you have a child through adoption, you know, and that every step you take, you're learning.
Yeah, it was actually really helpful. Although, I mean, when the baby came, I had no idea what I was doing. I mean, no, they just handed me a baby and I was like, what the fuck? You know, I know. I'm like, you're just going to let me like, you know, and it's like this little Yoda, this tiny little shriveled Yoda child that you're just like, I have no idea. So that was alarming. But, you know, but and then you just like figure it out, you know, there's some like instinct that clicks in and it was actually kind of interesting to have like the social worker come and I was like, what is she, you know, we're like fluffing the pillows and like, you know, like, I was like, I don't know, like what, you know, and you're just trying to be like, present like that you're this
upstanding
or whatever, like, you know,
good in air quotes person, you know.
Yeah.
But you have it all together and
yeah. You're and solid. Then she came again, like when Emily was, I don't know, like 6 months or something. And again, it was like, just trying to be like, see, we're doing a good job. Like, you know, and it's, but at the same time, just like grateful that, especially in these, in that circumstance, that to have, I don't know, to someone to sort of hold you accountable that you're for doing, sure. Doing a I decent think, job.
I mean, I think there are a lot of parents out there who should have someone holding them accountable.
Absolutely.
You know, I mean, that's,
I know.
It's funny that you talked about fluffing the pillows, because I feel like motherhood is basically the messiest thing you could possibly do, but it somehow it feels like if we present like we have it together, maybe we'll feel more like we do. But the truth is that, I mean, I'd say 90% of the time I don't have it together.
No. And I know. And I know behind me is like three piles of laundry, and I just cleaned up. We have two dogs. I just, you know, cleaned up. I was like, smells like pee. And of course, like one of the dogs had peed in the closet, and I'm like cleaning up pee. And it's like, I can't quite like keep it all. So much of it is like embracing the chaos and embracing the mess and realizing you can only do so much, and like, and everything's, you know, and that's, you like, I feel like I, like becoming a mom was like, and trying to be a working mother, mm-hmm. which is, it's like, I felt like I was like, I was never excelling at anything. Mm. I was just sort of, I was just sort of like scraping by on all the things that I was trying to keep afloat in my life. And that's hard to like, embrace. I had to go back to work, right? So Emily was born on March 5th in 2000. When was she born? 17. And I had to start filming on April 3rd. So she was 4 weeks old, and that was like crazy. And but there was like a weird lesson in all of it, because we had to hire help like right away. And I was so like, I can't, like, oh, I have to like be in, I have to be in, you know, in control. And we had to find someone to help. And then I had to let go of that. And that was actually one of the best things that we could have done, is get help. And then I had to go back to work, and I was like so distracted at work. And I thought, oh shit, you know, it's going to show. And it ended up in a weird way being like some of the best work I had done, because I was like, I don't know, like half, like, I wasn't as in my head, because my half of my head was, you know, about the work, because my life was fuller at home, or I don't know. It ended up like the balance. We feel like we have to hold tight to every little thing. And like, oddly, the more you let go, like the more I let go of even like full control of motherhood and asking for help there, made Emily happier and made home life better. And then at work, I felt like I couldn't be as on top of my, you know, learning the scripts, but then so I was more spontaneous, or it's this weird, you know, there's like this new recipe that not recipe or new, this new balance you find, but at sometimes it's debilitating, but you have to sort of lean into the chaos as opposed to fight it.
Absolutely. I wish people could see how much Jessica and I were just nodding as we were talking, because you were talking about how when you become a mother, all of a sudden you feel like you're not good at anything. You're just like scraping by. And it's true, yeah. Especially, you know, coming from like being super career driven and having that as a focus, all of a sudden you don't feel like you're succeeding at anything, even though you are. It doesn't feel the same. And that's really hard to adjust to, like you were saying.
Yeah.
I'm blown away to hear you talk about that you were struggling at work, because certainly, like I said, I've watched the whole series and I couldn't pinpoint when you had a kid on it. Do you know what I mean? Or when that shift happened. So from an outsider, they would never have known. How were the people on Younger supporting you through motherhood? What was that adjustment like? Because obviously you'd been on the show for quite some time before you became a mom.
Well, and what was so interesting too, is that Emily was born. I wasn't telling anybody because, you know, I wasn't pregnant. And so I wasn't even telling anyone that I was pursuing adoption. It was like a secret because I was like, what if it all falls apart or if it doesn't happen or, you know, so I was trying to be super, zen about it all. So literally Emily was born and I like sent a text to my cast and I was like, by the way, I'm now a mom, you know, and I'm like sending like, and everyone's like, what the, you know, but, you know, everybody was amazing. And what's so great about Younger is that a lot of the cast have, family, you know, Peter has three kids and, Debbie has two daughters. Miriam has two daughters. Hillary had a son and now has a daughter. And so there was like, and like Hillary's, son, when we started filming was 2.5 and he's like now 7 or 8. And it's, so there've been like kids around. It's a super like family, you know, kid friendly, dog friendly set. It's all very, very family, you know, welcoming environment. And a lot of like the cast is, you know, they've been around for a while. So, but, people were awesome and incredibly supportive. And I was able to bring Emily to set, you know, a lot. She's been alive through 3 seasons. So she comes to set. She won't be able to come now when we film. But she came the last 3 seasons. And, so she knows mommy, you know, mommy goes on set and she comes down to say hello to everybody. And the crew is, you know, they've all watched her like grow up. So it's cool. It's like, it's just a really, the one thing I haven't done with her yet is I haven't done a show with her. Mm. So I haven't done 8 shows a week with having a kid. So that I'm a little bit like, I don't know what that's going to be like missing bedtime. Mm. And, you know, but then again, I mean, the world is so crazy right now. Oh my God. So who knows when theater, I don't know, you know, we don't have to talk about that.
Nope.
It's all just so sad. But like, I'm so excited to introduce her to, you know, the magical world of theater, someday. Yeah. But, you know, she knows like that mommy sings and dances and she loves to sing. And, I think she's a belter. So I'm very proud. She's very loud and has great resonance. So I'm like very excited.
Just wait till she discovers Gimme Gimme, you know?
Oh, God.
Belting it all out.
Yeah. Everybody's been like so supportive. And then last season, Hillary had come back after having her Banks, and Banks was, oh my gosh, like 6 months or, you know, she was a baby. And, there's just a lot of the set of Younger is like, really support that. Everyone's like super supportive of one another, so much respect, taking care of one another. And it's like a really happy, loving environment. So it's been, and so many of us have gone through, like, I mean, I got married the first season, you know, had a baby, like so much has happened for all of us. And we've all just been like, I don't know, there for one another. So it's a really supportive place.
That's awesome.
Thanks so much for listening to this episode of Mama's Talkin' Loud. Special shout outs to Rachel Spencer Hewitt for our fabulous graphic, Kristen Anderson Lopez, Bobby Lopez, and Justin Ward Weber for our awesome theme song, our producers Dory Berenstein, Alan Seals, and of course, the Broadway Podcast Network for bringing us to you.
If you like what you're hearing and you want to keep the conversation going, you can follow us on Instagram and Facebook, and of course, subscribe and review us wherever you listen to your podcast. Thanks so much for tuning in.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but yeah. Not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.